But the greatest lesson we learn from prehistory is not a matter of artifacts and changing technologies, of villages and cities, or gold trades and mother goddesses. It is a story of human origins, of human people, human beings, of individuals, of small groups, of families, communities, and special interests, going about their daily business, being born, growing up, being educated, falling in love, becoming sick, making money, being happy, being unhappy, and eventually dying, living out their expectations and living out their ambitions in a world on the expectation that they would survive. We've learned from this course that this humanity, this decision-making, is an essential fabric of our past, and why it's so important for us to understand the lessons, not only of the recent, but of the more remote past, chronicled in these lectures. Archaeology has a reputation as a romantic subject, a subject of golden pharaohs and great pyramids, of vast cities and buried treasure. This is, to a considerable degree, a false image, because a great deal of archaeological research is extraordinarily dull, very slow-moving, and devastatingly unspectacular. Archaeology began in the 19th century as the province of travelers and adventurers. Today, it is team research carried out by international teams, often working with very disciplinary skills, with one common goal, the understanding of humanity. You see this, for example, in the study of new fossil remains from Ethiopia, where teams of up to 50 people are working on a single find. You find it in long-term excavations of farming villages in Turkey or of cities in Maya lowlands. It is a huge jigsaw puzzle which dozens of people are putting together very, very slowly. Spectacular finds still come, the Lords of Sipan, Maya burials, and others. But in the long run, it is the unspectacular much as the spectacular which put this complicated jigsaw together. One of the problems with this very specialized world is that world prehistory is inaccessible to many of us at the specialized level. Its language is specialized, jargon-ridden, and often very obscure. But from this come the answers to the big questions of the past, the big issues. Why did humanity evolve in Africa? What was the cause of Inca civilization? And so forth, and so forth. But fortunately also, the past is accessible to all of us. It's accessible to us in the great monuments of the world. Some of my most special moments as an archaeologist have been when visiting an excavation or treading on the earthworks of a hill fort in England or visiting a Maya city. I remember vividly once going to an amphitheatre, a Greek amphitheatre, at Epidaurus in an evening, and the sun was setting, and there was a wonderful scent, it was the spring, of olive and pine trees in the air, which was still, and a beautiful rosy light was suffusing the landscape. And I sat in the virtually deserted amphitheatre at the top, and a German classics professor with a small number of students came into the amphitheatre, and he sat them down on the lower seats, stood in the middle of the stage and recited Euripides. And the stanzas rippled in Greek up the serried seats. And it was as if one was there, a crowded audience straining to hear the speaker whose voice echoed through his beautifully, acoustically perfect setting. And just for a moment, the past lived.